Out in Kenya, at our mission centre there with FAME, we have just over 200 orphan boys and girls. 204 orphan boys and girls, to be exact, that the Lord has entrusted into our care. And we're seeking to provide for their every need, both physical and spiritual. Some of them are living outside of the centre, pursuing a course maybe at a polytech. Others are in schools. But there's just under 160 of them who are in the centre. And so my congregation on a Lord's Day, it's normally always boys and girls. Not so many adults. But we do have adults as well, but nearly always boys and girls. And I'm more comfortable speaking to boys and girls. And so I thought at the very outset of our meeting today, as we turn to a verse of Scripture, a portion of Scripture that God has placed on my heart, I'll bring a word to the boys and girls who are here. I see quite a few boys and girls that are here this morning. But I believe there will be a word for every one of us. And I trust that God will bless that word to our hearts. We have a motto text. And I'd like to quote the motto text that we have. We have a motto text each year. And at Kithamula there in eastern Kenya, our motto text is Psalm 115, verse 1. It says in Psalm 115, verse 1, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." And so I hope today, as we would seek to bring a report of what the Lord has been doing in and through our lives and the work of FAME there in eastern Kenya, that not unto us, but unto the Lord's name, he will give glory and he will get all the glory. There's another verse that I'd like to share. I've quoted that one. There's another verse I'd like to share with you, and you can look it up in your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, I hope you have. Romans chapter 11. And verse 36 is an important verse for us all to remember. Every one of us. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. "For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And so there is one of many verses that would help us to understand that God must get the glory, because of him and through him and to him are all things. And so therefore I trust and pray that God will even write on your heart today the great need for us to live our lives for his glory. Every day of our lives. What you put on, what you wear, is it glorifying to God? How we talk, how we speak, is it glorifying to God? Everything we do, is it bringing glory to God? May God really impress that upon every one of our hearts. Every single day. And every hour of every day. Now, boys and girls, the passage I want us all to read together, adults included, but especially the boys and girls. And I hope, boys and girls, you have your Bibles. Eh? And if you don't have a Bible, share with Mum and Dad. I want you to see what God's Word says. 2 Corinthians, turn please to that passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it's a well-known verse. But just because it's well-known, sometimes that means we don't think very much. We say the words, but we don't think very much about what we're reading. And it's good that we should think carefully about what God is saying to us in his word. You know, out in Kenya, and I think Northern Ireland's very similar, but out in Kenya, there are very, very many people, and they would tell you they're Christians. So many people who would say, if you ask them, that they're Christians, but their lives are not changed. They still behave just like the world. And they love all the same things that the world loves. They love the music of the world. Dress like the world. Want to fit in with the world. And yet, they tell you they're Christians. And I'm sure Northern Ireland has that problem also. But what do we read here? God changes a person's life. He changes a person's life. So boys and girls, listen to what God says to us here. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, or any person be in Christ, he is a new creature. It can even be read, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, take a look. You'll see the difference. Behold, all things are become new. God really changes a man, a woman, a boy or girl who's been saved. So the question is today, in this building, are you really a Christian? Have you been converted? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? Has God made a real dramatic change in your life? Now, I love using little illustrations. And I'm going to use God's creation this morning as an illustration. So, boys and girls, can you tell me what this is? I got this made big so you could see it. I'll let your minister see it. I'm sure he knows what it is. Anybody know what that is? Can you see up at the back? Up in the gallery? Is there any boy or girl here who could tell me? Yes? Good man. I have no sweets. But we'll see what we can do. You are right. This is a caterpillar. Yeah? And if any of you like gardening, you won't be happy to have these in your garden. Do you know why? They do a lot of damage. Everywhere they go, they just do damage. I was doing a bit of research about a caterpillar. A caterpillar has an insatiable, that's a big word for boys and girls, it's got a really, really big appetite. It never has enough. It's always wanting more. Never satisfied. Never content. Eating. I'm told that they eat 3 or 4 times their own body weight. Imagine. I'm over 13 stones. You multiply that by 3 or 4 and have to eat that every day. That's what caterpillars are doing. Serious. Never filled. Never enough. Always wanting more. And they're a picture of the way we are born into this world. In Adam, the old man, the old nature. There's an emptiness. There's a void that's never satisfied. Never has enough. And the devil is telling people, if you just had a bigger house, or you had more money, or you had a better holiday, bigger car, then you would be happy. It would be enough. And it's never enough. Because only Christ can satisfy. But that's how the caterpillar, boys and girls, gets on. Eating, destroying everything, doing harm. You don't want them in your garden. And then God does something. God steps in and does something. He transforms the caterpillar. I'm going to set it down here. This is called a cocoon. And I know there are adults here, and they know there's a big sophisticated word that scientists use, metamorphosis. It doesn't really matter if you don't remember it. But the caterpillar goes into this cocoon, and the caterpillar ends. It just gets liquidized. Old things pass away. And you know what happens, boys and girls? Do you know what comes out of this? Anybody know? Yes? A butterfly. Yeah, old things pass away. Caterpillars finishes. Behold, all things become new. Isn't that serious? And this caterpillar that just wanted to destroy and eat leaves, guess what? It turns into a butterfly and it doesn't want to eat leaves anymore. It's got a new appetite. It desires new food. The thing that it used to love, it doesn't love it anymore. I want to tell you something. If you are saved, boys and girls and adults, God gives you a new appetite. And the sins that you used to love, you now hate. You have no appetite for them anymore. Yeah, God has given you a hunger now for different things. You want to feed on His Word. Do you know what? Butterflies don't hang around with caterpillars anymore. They don't want to be hanging around with caterpillars anymore. Because they're now butterflies. You won't see butterflies hanging around with caterpillars. Yeah. And if God has saved you, then you don't want to be running around with the ungodly. You don't want to even be in their company anymore because they want to do wicked things. They have a different appetite from you. You know what the butterfly eats? It eats nectar. It's flying around the garden. It's not doing any harm in your garden anymore. It actually adds beauty to your garden. And it's reflecting the light on its wings. The light that it receives reflects. It actually gets a bit more technical than that. My son has just finished his A-levels and he's a little bit more advanced in these things. And he says, Daddy, that's not technically right, but it's good enough. If you want to research it a wee bit more, you get into the details. It receives light and it only has beauty when it's reflecting that light. And it adds beauty to the garden. And as it goes round with its new appetite, doing what it really has a desire to do because of the change that God has made, guess what's happening? It's pollinating plants so that they bear fruit. Isn't that a wonderful change? The caterpillar is the old man, the old nature. In Adam, we're born in sin. And in Adam, we'll all die. And there's an emptiness that people are trying to fill. But only God can change you in Christ. Those who are in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. So I wonder today, I'm not asking for you to, are you a Christian? I'm a Christian. I'm asking today, has God changed your life? Has he given you a new appetite, new desires? Do you want to live for him? Do you want to follow him? And listen, boys and girls, final thought for you. Maybe you're sitting in this church today and your mom and dad have been born again and you know that God has changed their life. Maybe one time your dad was drinking and fighting and doing a lot of bad things, and maybe even your mom. And God changed them. And you know that God has changed them and you can see the difference. But you know what? When the butterfly lays little eggs, do you know what hatches out of the butterfly's eggs? That's what hatches out of the butterfly's eggs. Butterflies give birth to caterpillars. And Christians who are here today, those who are truly saved parents, you just need to remember that as well. Our children have been conceived in sin, born in sin. And God needs to save them and he needs to change them. So there's a little lesson for us that I trust God will bless to our hearts and help us to understand the difference that God makes in a person's life. Are you in a spiritual sense today? Are you a caterpillar? Are you a butterfly? I think there's a whole lot of caterpillars running around with wings strapped on trying to pretend that they're butterflies, but they're still eating the same things. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And if you have an emptiness that nothing in this world can fill, I trust today God will bring you to an end of yourself. And you'd give your life to the Lord Jesus and trust him. Now, I want to bring a report and I trust that God will help me to do that and bring glory to his name. As our brother has already said, there's a prayer card. It's the 20th anniversary year of FAME Mission, Friends of Africa Missionary Endeavour. So on the table, if you take a prayer card, I'd be very glad if you take that and pray for us. Those of you who already do pray for the work, I want to give you, thank you from the depths of our hearts for your prayers. And I hope you'll be encouraged to know that God is working and God is moving. In spite of us, by the way, in spite of us, God is working and God is moving. And God is extending his kingdom in the lives of men and women and boys and girls. Please do take a prayer card. The FAME DVD is also there. You can take one of those or even take a couple if you have somebody else you'd like to take one for. It normally doesn't get released until October, but you can have it today. Let me. You're all sitting here looking really well. And let me read three quotations as I begin from a little book I was reading recently, Mission Matters. If you have never experienced the horror of war or been close to death from starvation, have any of you been close to death from starvation? You don't look like it anyway. If you've never been close to death from starvation, then you are better off than 500 million people in this world. If you can go to your place of worship without fear that someone will assault or kill you, then you are more privileged than 3 billion people living in this world. Think about that. If you have food in your fridge, and you actually have a fridge, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are wealthier than 75% of this world's population. So as you came in this morning, I don't know if you realized it, but you are a millionaire, as far as material things are concerned anyway. Whether you actually have £1 million in the bank or not, compared to everybody else in this world. And the next time you sing that hymn, Count Your Many Blessings, I hope you're not struggling to get your fingers filled up. Yeah? But I thank God for those in the meeting today who are truly blessed. Who are blessed in heavenly places in Christ because you've been brought into God's family through faith in His Son. That's the greatest blessing. Out in the mission center, God has given us the great privilege and honor of serving Him and living for Him there among the boys and girls, the orphan boys and girls. And we've got now, at the moment, as I've told you, the number of children. Every day we also have about 75 young people who come in for vocational training to learn some skills, carpentry, dressmaking. Then there's the medical clinic there, the Curran Clinic. On a mother and baby day, we might have 120 mothers who walk from the local area with a baby on their back to get the babies checked up and vaccinated, all of those things. And all of those activities provide us with so many gospel opportunities and to bring the Word of God to people in that area. And it's opened up over the years. FAME Mission now is known for helping the people, and it has just opened up so many doors. In fact, it opened up so many gospel opportunities. In fact, we're now going around, by God's help, 50 schools in the area. And 50 schools is a lot of schools to get around. But with 30-something staff, so I'm trying to oversee that with the orphans and then get around these schools. And I was finding myself having more and more gospel opportunities. Saturday night outreach, the prison ministry, and I was being pulled apart. And our prayer was that God would send out more laborers. We desperately need more laborers in the harvest field. I was speaking with Alan Dunlap, and he's actually writing up a little article making an appeal for more laborers. Pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth more laborers. Because people have a hunger and an appetite in Kenya to hear the Word of God. I can't speak for the whole country, but I can speak for Eastern Kenya. The people are so poor. And God's Word tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, that the common people heard Him gladly. And nothing has changed. Even now, today, the common people, they hear Him gladly. They're willing to listen. And we were praying earnestly that God would send out another missionary. And we thank God that in January this year, a young lady, Miss Grace Sturm, from Indiana Free Church, actually, as it happens, in America, she left her home and family at the call of the Lord and the leading of the Lord in her life. And she is now currently there with us. And I had asked you to pray for her. Brother's been asking you to pray for us. Please pray also for Grace. Grace is a lovely... I can only describe Grace as a modest young woman. A modest young woman. She's modest in how she speaks. She's modest in how she dresses. And modest young Christian women are becoming scarce. But I pray God will work in hearts, and we get back to living for His glory and not living for ourselves. And you know what? Grace loves the Lord, and it's been a joy to have Grace with us, helping to share in the children's ministry, not only with the children in the center, but also in the schools. Just before we left, I've been having the privilege of going into Waita Prison. It's about an hour's drive from our mission center there, and God has really been moving and blessing in the ministry in the prison. There's now a choir in the prison singing and praising the Lord. One young man who has got saved numerous months ago, and he just says, you know, I thank God that I ended up here in this prison, because this is where I have heard about the Lord Jesus, and He has saved me, And he's looking forward. He's telling our chaplain now, when he gets released, he's going to be released in the next few months before I go back in October. And his heart is that he wants to come and join our Bible school. And he wants to go through the Bible course and now give his life to the Lord and serving the Lord instead of all the wicked things he was doing. And we thank God for the prison ministry. Just before we came back home, the prison headquarters in Nairobi gave us a letter, a permission slip. They have to give you this approval letter. And we sent them a letter applying for this at the actual encouragement of the head warden in Waita and the chaplain there. He says you should send in a letter. So they've given us now access to another six prisons. And those six prisons represent 3,000 prisoners. And there are also women's sections in those prisons as well. And some of those prisons are 2 hours drive, 3 hours drive, all around the area. I was actually asking them how many prisons are in Kenya, because Kenya is a lot bigger than Northern Ireland. And they told me there's somewhere around 120 prisons, or maybe slightly more. So again, that is a ministry even by itself. And our prayer is that God will send out more missionaries so that we can avail of all these opportunities that the Lord of Heaven has put before us to bring the gospel into these places. When I was with you here 2 years ago, I was telling the brothers we came in, it's 2 years since we were here. So if you're sitting here today and you remember me being here and you're thinking that wasn't long ago, it's 2 years ago, but you're all still looking good. 2 years hasn't been too sore on you. But when I was here 2 years ago, I was telling you about how the Lord had opened the door for commencing an abandoned baby unit. We have had the orphanage and we were rescuing children from 3 years up, but we were never able to cope with babies. And the authorities came to us and appealed that we would consider opening an abandoned baby unit and for destitute babies, little babies that have been born in the bush and the mother has died and things are so basic and so remote, no access to powdered baby milk where we are. It'd be a long way away for them to go and they couldn't afford it anyway. So they've all sorts of challenges that you can't really imagine here in your Western world. And I thank God that when we went back last time, we were able to start that baby unit. And now it's up and running. And you'll see some photographs at the back. And I'm going to share with you maybe just one of the rescues, because we haven't time this morning. Our brother told me to take plenty of time. But the services in Kenya last for 3 hours. So you don't really want me to take plenty of time, I'm sure. But I trust God will direct my thoughts just to what he wants me to say to you here and what he's doing. We have got four staff right now, along with some others in the centre that are in other duties, but they can help now and then in the baby unit. And we'd ask you to pray for them, Ruth and Rose and Elizabeth and Dida. And my wife would also be helping out, and then Grace is there. And we rescued one of the first children. The very first child was three days old, a little girl. And her mother was mentally disturbed, and she was leaving the baby lying in the sand in the rain during the rainy season, and even trying to put Coca-Cola down the mouth of the little baby 2 days old. So she was mentally disturbed. She had been raped, I believe. So we were able to rescue. The authorities brought that child and was committed to our care through the court. But then we were made aware of a little boy called Baraka. And Baraka means blessing. And Baraka was born in Garissa. Garissa is a town where Al-Shabaab shot 147 university students around 2 years ago. Went into the university because they couldn't read the Quran. They were shot. That town is about 80, 90 miles from our mission center. And little Baraka was born there to a prostitute. And the prostitute, she threw away the baby. She abandoned the baby because she said, apparently, that it was going to be a distraction or an interruption to her work. So little Baraka was thrown away, and there was a woman there who couldn't have any children. And she got Baraka. The police gave her a little written notice that she could take care of him. She came back to her home, which is in Guni. Guni village is just about 10 miles from our mission centre. She was trying to look after Baraka, but she was dying from AIDS herself. And after 6 months, she couldn't care for herself. She could barely walk. And so the little baby was being neglected. And, I mean, you just can only imagine the conditions that are there. So a relative called us. We went with the district children's office. And I found little Baraka that day and his skin on his arm. You'll see the photographs. Was just hanging all loose like this. He was weighing 0.8 kilograms more at the day of birth than he was the day he was born. And his feet were covered in mosquito bites and scabs. The woman herself really wanted to care for that wee boy, but she couldn't. She just couldn't do it. I remember putting my hand on her back, and it was really like putting your hand on a skeleton. And you'll see her picture also just out there. But I thank God that we were able to rescue little Baraka. And he's now, I mean, within six weeks of getting good food, little Baraka just ballooned out. And he's now a lovely wee boy running around playing. And even that lady, we were able to get her onto antiviral drugs. And we were able to get her some fruit and some nutritious food, a little package to her once a week. And she is also doing well. And her name is Mary. And Mary comes every few months to the centre to see Baraka. And that gives us the opportunity now to share with her about her need of salvation. And I would ask you to pray for Mary, that God will save Mary. And even all our little boys and girls, even at Masavi Girls Secondary School, the Masavi Boys Secondary School, God enabled us as a mission to build those two schools. And they're under government control, but we're the sponsors. And we have a chaplain employed in both schools, preaching the word of God every day. And even in the girls' school, it's a boarding school, having services every Sunday. And so I would ask you also to pray for all those girls and all those boys who are hearing the word of God there every week and every Lord's Day. Last March, we opened a new outreach clinic. It's at Minot, a place called Minot. Cleared 1 acre of ground, built the clinic, and God enabled us there to furnish that and basically have it all ready. £13,000, £13,500 did everything. Cleared the site, put in the founds, built it, roofed it, and kitted it out with all the furniture. So if you have a building project here, you'd be happy if you got it done for £13,000. So I want to encourage you, as you support the work, that what would seem to be a small amount here can do an awful lot in the land of Kenya. And now we have Lucy and Tabitha working there, and that again has opened another new door in a new community for us to go in with the gospel and to meet those people and visit there. In fact, the whole clinic idea came from a Saturday night outreach. On a Saturday night, we go to different remote villages and preach the word. And when we went there, we could see that there was a great need for medical help. The people hadn't got anything near to them. And so we went and did a mobile clinic. And we thought we'd go for a few hours. And it ended up, I had to keep the truck lights on. It gets dark on the equator around 7. We went at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 2:30. And Lydia, our nurse, was sitting with a queue of people to 10:30 at night, sitting with the lights on the whole time for the people queuing up just to get treated for the most basic things. And so we saw the need, and God has met the need, and we thank God for that. There's a little girl there. You'll see her photograph. You also see her on the DVD. And she was sleeping in her bed in a little mud hut, and a snake came in and bit her on the hand. And you'll see the photograph of the flesh is all eaten away, where the venom destroyed it all. But unfortunately, her hand is now all constricted, and she can't really use it very well. But it has healed up. And that's just one little example. There was no medical facilities around. You're talking about 40 degrees temperature where we are, because it's very low, low altitude, and we're on the equator. It's extremely hot, very dusty, dry riverbeds. We never see water flowing apart from a few hours twice a year. And you can imagine living in those conditions. And the people at Minot walk for 2 to 3 hours to get water. And it's not even clean water. So you can imagine your daughter with her whole back of her hand, the skin has fallen off. It's 40 degrees, dirt floor, water 3 hours walk away, and it's dirty water. And no medical facilities. But thank God we were able to help that wee girl and have it dressed every day, and it's now okay. It's healed up. And again, we have that gospel opportunity to witness to those people. And they can see what we're talking about, demonstrated that we do care and we have a love for them in trying to meet a very real need that they have. And so I pray that God will help us to continue to meet that need. In the Christian Resource Center, we have the Bible School. I would ask you to pray for Pastor Titus Nzoka. Pastor Titus Nzoka will be known to some of you, I'm sure, because he went through the course in the Whitfield College, and then he went on to Singapore and did a four-year theological course there as well. And this week, tomorrow, there's a special week of meetings in our Christian Resource Center. And it's open for pastors, elders, Sunday school teachers from the area, because so many of them are trying to minister and serve the Lord with hardly any training at all. And their knowledge of the Word of God is so shallow. So we have these special weeks of Bible teaching meetings. The theme of this week's meetings is God's salvation as revealed in the Scriptures. And I would trust you will pray for Titus as he takes those meetings. The last one we had in April, we had an average attendance of around 200 people every day. And no cars at all. Those pastors all made their way there, either on foot or on bicycles, or else got a lift on the back of a little motorbike. So pastors and elders and Sunday school teachers, and they are just delighted to be able to feed on the Word of God. You see, they have a hunger, they have a new appetite, a new desire, like we were talking about earlier. And when they get that the spiritual food, they really, really want to be there. In our guest dormitory, when visitors come out, you can put about, we normally put about 30 to 35 people in the guest dormitory. But we open it up during those special weeks of meetings. And the last one, we had 72, 73 pastors and elders staying in the guest dormitory. And they were sleeping two in a bed, you know, head to toe. And nobody was complaining, no problem. In fact, some of them were really delighted to be able to sleep on a mattress, because many of them don't even have a mattress to sleep on. And they were singing all evening on the veranda, singing to the Lord, praising the Lord, and a wonderful time of fellowship. And it's a real joy to be working with people like that. We also have a literature store where, by God's help, we're getting literature from the Revival Movement. We thank every home crusade, the Revival Movement, for their generosity. They send us out containers of literature, many, many thousands of tracts, and we're able to distribute those around not only the schools we visit, but people come and get that literature every week. Our chaplain is giving out literature for those that are doing outreach, and we're able to put in their hand sound gospel literature, the Gospels of John in various languages, mainly Swahili, I suppose. We have tracts in Kikamba, which is the tribe that we work with. And just to let you know, that there's somewhere around 43 tribes in Kenya, and the Kikamba tribe represent about 4 million people. So more than double the population of Northern Ireland is the Kikamba tribe. One tract that they did for me was this one. I had written this little tract 20 years ago. And if you had told me that this tract was going to be translated into Kikamba, Swahili, and then in English as well, and sent to Africa, when I wrote that tract, I never, ever would have believed it. But God has bigger plans than our plans. And I hope that you can take that on board. God has bigger plans. And it's a real privilege to serve the Lord. And I hope even each of you will go away from this meeting today and really give your heart and life to serve Him, the Lord. Because nothing else matters. And you know what we need? Homeland missionaries. Not just foreign missionaries. Homeland missionaries. When we go to the homes, the people would say to me in the bush, nobody ever comes here and talks to us. We've lived here all our life in the bush. We go on a wee motorbike and ride up into the bush. Nobody has ever come here. They don't go to church. Nobody ever comes and opens up the Bible. This has never happened before. Come. Then they want to make chai, that's tea, and take as long. You could sit for 2 hours, 3 hours. They're so happy to hear the Word of God and somebody to take time. And I was saying about that in our own home church in Cookstown. And one man after the meeting, he said to me, Rodney, I was thinking about what you said. He said, I heard somebody say that to me. He's a young man who loves the Lord. He's from Maharfell. And he went down into Arbow. And anybody around Korean, you might know Arbow isn't strongly DUP. If you know what I mean. But that's, listen, souls to be saved. Souls to be reached with the gospel. And he went down in wee country roads, wee quiet lanes, went down into wee basic houses, and there were people there, and that's what they said. Nobody ever comes here to see us. Roman Catholic people, happy to hear, happy to listen, and he shared with them. So we need homeland missionaries as well. Nobody, there's what they're saying. Nobody ever comes here to see us. And how far is that from you here? So may God challenge you and may God help me as well to be faithful and go into the highways and into the byways and tell them about the Lord. Here's a question that this little track asks, because I'm very sure that we have caterpillars and butterflies in the meeting today. We have maybe some people here, and you would say at the door you're a Christian, but your life has never been changed. Are you absolutely sure that you will not spend eternity in hell? God's word tells us that you can be absolutely sure. That's the good news. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. Even though you're a sinner, even though you have lived every day of your life in complete and absolute rebellion against your Creator. And boys and girls, when you break God's commands, and this applies to adults, you know what you're doing? When you do what God says you ought not to do, you're lifting your fist to the God of heaven who made you, and you're saying, "No! I'll do what I want to do. I'm not going to do what you say." That's what you're doing. And you've lived your life like that, in rebellion against God. And yet God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to bleed and die and suffer on the cross of Calvary for rebel sinners like you and me. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. You know, we should perish. We should have already been dead. What's the wages of sin? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. We're living under God's mercy. And we get so used to living under mercy and living under grace that when God holds back that mercy and grace, and maybe a few thousand people die somewhere, people are shocked and they're saying, innocent people, we're all sinners. Justice is crying out for us to be punished because of our sin. And the only reason we're alive is because of mercy and grace. And God, in mercy and grace, has got you here in this house today, giving you an opportunity to cry unto Him for mercy. That's what you need. Sinners need mercy. And I thank God when I go to the prisons in Kenya, they're not sitting boasting about how good they are. That's the problem. There's too many people full of their own righteousness. And they don't realize that our righteousnesses are just filthy rags. You know, we need to come, as George Whitefield said, every person, every sinner, we need to be brought to Mount Sinai and stand there before we can come to Mount Calvary. We need to understand we're guilty. We need to understand we have the disease of sin. And then we can present the cure. And I trust today, if you're sitting in this meeting, may God speak to your heart. May God have mercy upon you. In wrath, remember mercy. And as we go round the homes, I'm going to finish. My time is gone. Pray for our Bible students. We had 11 Bible students who completed the course, the 2-year course in January. We have currently 16 Bible students going through the Bible training there. And we pray that God will bless them. One was called Richard. He came to us from an Anglican church. He was preaching in an Anglican, he was a pastor in an Anglican church. And he came to the Bible school. And I thank God for that. Because now he's able to understand the Word. You know, when he started to be taught the Word and God's Word was opened up, he had an insatiable appetite. He wanted more and more of this. He was thrilled with the truth. The light of the gospel was shining into his heart. And the bishops from Wingy, they called him and says, "Listen, you're going to have to leave the FAME Bible school. You can't continue going there, or else you're going to have to leave your ministry." And 3 times they called him, and we were praying for Richard. And Richard told them, "Listen, I can't walk away from the truth." And he left the Anglican church. Amen. That's biblical reformation. And he started up his own wee independent church there in Koala, right up the road from the Anglican one. And half the congregation has left the Anglican church and they're now under the ministry of the Word of God. This is the Lord's doing. Eh? Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. I had a whole lot of other things that I was going to tell you. God has directed my heart in that area and in those things. And I just wish that another half an hour, but I know your brother here would be kicking the backs of the legs off me if it went on maybe any longer. But there's souls being saved, men and women. Souls are being saved, and it's God who's saving them. God's the only one who can change caterpillars into butterflies. I can't do it, and none of you can do it either. But God is able. God is able. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? There's a good question for us to think about. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And I was just reading the other day when the Lord Jesus came to Lazarus' grave. He met Martha. And Martha was saying a lot of good things. Now we say a lot of good things. And she said, Lord, even now, whatever you say, God will do it. That's what she said. But did she really believe? Because when the Lord told her to take the stone back, she was the one who said, no, don't take the stone back. He's too far gone. You know, that's what we are like. We talk all the good talk. Isn't that right? But we have loved ones, and they're not just sick, they're dead, spiritually dead. But let's get the stone back, because the Lord is the resurrection and the life. And let's really believe it. He's able to save. And I thank God he's working in Kenya. I pray he'll start moving again in this wee land of Northern Ireland. And you know where he's going to start? He's going to start with his people. Whenever he has that place of supreme devotion in our hearts. Will you surrender your life? Will you be emptied? You know, if I had a bucket there full of coal and I wanted it full of water, the first thing you'll have to do is get the coal emptied out of it. It'll have to be emptied. And then it can be filled. And how we need to be emptied of self, our own ways, and just cry, Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done. May God bless you. And may God bless his word and give glory to his name.